So we can take the opportunity to sit quietly, establishing that intention, aspiration, desire for directing our attention. In working with desire, I mentioned earlier that sense of listening to the desire, to the desire system, as we sit, and to you know, much of the ability of the mind to be peaceful is not in, let's say, annihilating desire, but in acknowledging, recognizing, understanding desire. There's a certain intimidation that we have. We're intimidated by desires. They're they seem so compelling, but to be able to allow them to be present. Allowing them to be present doesn't mean acquiescing and following, but it's being alert and attentive to desire. The nature of desire usually, of course, is bound up with the sense of self, sense of me. It's usually not just an impersonal desire that's functioning, sort of me wanting something. That I want to be mine or to gratify myself. That kind of agenda behind it. And it feels compelling. And then just to be able to be alert and to be willing to experience, willing to be with, Ajahn Chah used to put a tremendous amount of emphasis on being patient, and it took me a long time to figure out that his idea of patience and my idea of patience quite different, in that normally how we tend to relate to, say, patience or being patient with something is just, you know, putting up with something and waiting for it to be over. And it's unpleasant. Something, you know, putting up with something unpleasant and waiting for it to be over. But the way that Ajahn Chah would really be encouraging is you know, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, to be willing to be with it, and to really let it be there, and that sense of patience has a way of transforming that experience, a willingness to be with an experience, and again, it could be unpleasant, it could be pleasant, but it's not when we're willing to be with it, it's not compelling us to run away, to act out, to rationalize, to, you know, all of the things that we do with our desires, so that we're able to really see it clearly. And then it has the power to transform and change into something really supportive for us. Because there's an energy in desire. And to be able to use that energy for our well-being, and for the well-being of others. But there is that necessity of willingness to be patient, but as I say, to reconfigure the relationship with patience. In the the Buddha's teachings, he points to these different ways that the mind reacts, and so that using those that framework to understand, so that the just because something is, say, painful, difficult, unsatisfactory, doesn't necessarily mean it's always going to be that. The Buddha didn't point to permanent conditions in anything. He pointed to impermanent, uncertain, changing conditions for everything. And everything is in a process, a cause and effect relationship, so that as we experience something that is, say, that is, it feels like it's suffering, it feels difficult, the willingness to be with and be alert and present to that experience, it can go to a couple ways. It can be the suffering that leads to more suffering, or it can be the suffering that leads to an ending of suffering. It can be something we learn from, that we understand, that we really grow from. And similarly with say, the pleasant, the experience of happiness and well-being. It's definitely not a permanent condition, but it's when we can understand that, oh, that pleasant experience, that is a experience that is, can also be the cause for, it can shift and change into suffering, into something difficult. We can react to it, we can grasp it, we can complicate it, and it will create more suffering for us, even though it began as happiness, and we've all experienced that. But then happiness can also be the condition for increased happiness. Yeah? So that, it's like things like generosity, kindness, it's pleasant in the moment, and it leads to more well-being. So these continuums, or these experiences of just being a human being in the human condition with a body and a mind, we've got desire sort of functioning. It results in both happiness and unhappiness, or pleasure and pain. And it's that is ordinary. Mm-hmm. But what we can do as practitioners is really learn and understand, say, how that what's the desire behind that? What's that motivation, the aspiration, the impulse behind it? And how do we nurture that? How do we understand it? How do we allow it to grow for us? So that, and that's something that we can, just on a very mundane, minute level of, as we're sitting here watching the breath, how do I allow for a pleasant in-breath to lead to a pleasant out-breath? How do I do that? how do I allow that kind of sense of ease and peace as I'm breathing out? How does that transform into a pleasant in-breath? Those are just on that minute level, because that's the Buddha is addressing the quality of well-being, and it's not some kind of pie in the sky future lifetime. You might feel good sometime, but it's a really understanding how to cultivate that in this present moment, and realizing that those same conditions are what allow that experience to continue into the future, because it's the same dynamics, it's the same principles. It's like Ajahn Chah saying, you don't have to understand everything. All you need to do is understand one thing. You say, like, you don't have to go around and study every single tree in the world to know what a tree is like. And you see one tree, understand it, say, well, okay, there's got this basic pattern, basic principles, and that's what all trees are going to be like. And so that similarly with in our own mind, our own experience, recognizing how those impulses, those desires, how they come into being, what pull they have, how they can be relinquished, how we can create space around it, how there can be a sense of ease, so that those are just using it on the in-breath, the out-breath, tuning in, taking stock of that, and seeing how to getting a better feel for how that works, and in the end, there's it's just that. Just that quality of knowing something really clearly, and not kind of analyzing, intellectualizing, postulating, just knowing it. knowing, and then releasing, relinquishing, letting go. Not in a pushing away, but in this very spacious clarity. Ah. And this is something that Ajahn Chah said, that's all there is to this path of Buddhism, is knowing and letting go. Knowing and letting go. And it's just, we keep doing that. Of course, you know, there is all these other aspects, but they're kind of the supports for that central piece. So that recognizing that we can put our attention on that central piece of knowing and letting go, and then support it, fill it in, understand things a bit more detail. If we can't build that kind of that home base of knowing and letting go. So we can take this opportunity to sit quietly, meditation, just reflecting, what does it feel like when a desire formulates in the mind? What's it feel like? What's the experience? Take an interest. Learn about it. Allow it to teach you. But in the end, keep it simple. Knowing and letting go. Just knowing and letting go.